good.
Good to see you.
All right, we'll go ahead and get started with our first media availability of the day. We're joined by Christopher Bell, driver of the number 20 Joe Gibbs Racing Toyota. If you have a question for Christopher, go ahead and raise your hand. We'll get a wireless microphone to you. Any takers? We'll go up to Bob in the front.
Bob Hockers, Fox Sports. I'm curious, in light of the kind of Chastain and Suarez having their little beef, like, do you notice, drivers who were former team, when drivers change teams, are you kind of aware, and do you watch how they race their former teammates, and do you see in general that when drivers leave, do they race their teammates, former teammates, any differently?
I don't think so. Just, I'm honestly trying to think back to even whenever I came into the 20 car, and Eric Jones went to the 43. I thought Eric raced me really respectfully. I haven't noticed that, and I didn't get to see the incident, or, you know, I wasn't around Daniel or Ross at all last week. So, I don't have anything for you there.
We'll go in the back over here.
Hey, Chris. Chris Gallen with Above the Yellow Line Media. So with you doing more than just the Cup race this weekend, I was wondering, are there any tracks where doing more double or even triple duty is a little more physically harder on you than it might be at others? And are there tracks where you, if you're going to do that, where you're looking to do those because you know, you might not be quite as sore afterward, anything like that?
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely certain tracks that are a lot more physical than others. The physical tracks on the schedule would be, you know, Dover, even Bristol. Darlington is not too bad. You have, you know, some decent straightaways to get some rest. The speeds are down. The G-forces are down. The biggest thing about Darlington is it's just mentally taxing. Like, you have to be, you know, mentally switched on the entire time because you get no off laps. You're right up against the wall, and any sort of mistakes are going to, you know, damage your car and likely, you know, jeopardize your spot, your potential to run well. But I think most of us don't really get the opportunity to pick where we, you know, run double and triple duty. It's more so about, you know, the teams and where they want you to drive at. So, obviously I've been doing the Xfinity or the O'Reilly series race here for a number of years now with Sport Clips. And then it came together with Pristine Auction to do the truck race as well. So it's more so on the teams deciding where I'm going to run or where the drivers are going to run compared to, you know, the drivers deciding where they want to do it at.
Thanks, Chris.
We'll come to Steve.
Christopher, Steve Post, Motor Racing Network. You have a brief practice session coming up for the Cup Series. What initially are you going to be looking for in this practice? What makes it a good practice session for you, knowing that 5 minutes in, the car's going to be a handful?
Yeah, well, certainly learning from that Group A. It's nice that we're in Group B, so we get to watch. So we'll have a good idea of what the tire degradation is going to be and how slick it is and how different the cars drive. So it'll be very, all of us are going to be tuned in to that Group A for sure. All of the Group B drivers and teams are going to be glued to those monitors, watching, see what the guys are struggling with, what the tire deg is, what the balance migration is, and then making adjustments on their cars for, you know, the Group B session. So once you get on track, you kind of go to focusing on what you're doing in that moment. And even if it does go a certain direction, really loose or really tight, or a lot of tired egg, a little tired egg. I don't think it's going to be a little tired egg, but, watching Group A is going to be a huge, huge part of practice and hitting your adjustments, because this is so foreign. The last time that we had a rules package change like this, we had an open practice at Phoenix, I think. So it's going to be tremendously different than what we've had, and there's going to be I would expect there to be a lot of field spread between the best cars and the worst cars.
We'll come up to Chris, and then John and Jordan. We'll make our way up front.
ChrisKnight, GetRunners.com. Christopher, there's a lot of hype into tomorrow's race. Do you feel like the race will live up to that hype, and do you think we'll expect something like a crash fest, or do you think it'll be something like we saw at Bristol Motor Speedway where it's so cold that you see so many comers and goers?
I mean, the potential to crash by yourself is going to be much greater than what we've had in previous Darlington races. But honestly, thinking back to it, like the harder that we make the cars to drive, it seems like everybody it becomes more heightened and focused on, you know, driving their car well. And we typically see less, you know, crashes. So I don't know that it's going to be a crash fest, but yeah, I think everybody at this point is just speculating. Like, nobody truly knows what's going to happen whenever we get out there with, you know, this aero package and upped horsepower. So yeah, it's even after the practice session, we'll know a little bit of what the tire dig is and how the cars drive, but we won't know how they race. And I think that's where hopefully we make the biggest gains, is even if the cars drive differently, hopefully they drive better in traffic, we're able to pass better, and ultimately we see a better race because of that. And you know, with the Phoenix being the higher horsepower stuff, it seemed like we could pass tremendously better. I would expect Darlington to be a place where we can pass a lot easier too.
Go ahead, John.
John Newby, Fan Buzz. So heading into the season, the kind of conversation was that the top three people would be the true championship contenders. Is there a point in the season where, by a specific race, specific month, where you guys think we need to be within striking distance of the top three, or else we need to start panicking?
I mean, definitely not before the reset. You know, the chase reset is what we're all focused on, is trying to get that best seating position going into the chase. And then, you know, someone could run away with the regular season and then get bumped back down closer to the field at the chase, or it could be a really tight points battle and then they could get an advantage at the chase reset. So right now, it's definitely way too early to be talking about, you know, the runaway stuff. And I think that chase reset could go either way. It could give the leader an advantage and a more buffer, or you could bring him back closer to us. So, you know, for us and the 20 team, I think we've focused on just trying to be in that top five in the regular season standings. And, you know, at one time I didn't think we were ever going to get there after the first two races, being that far back, but, the points have worked out. We've run really well in the stages, and the guys that are winning races are able to make up a lot of positions and a lot of points with those added points to the win. So, yeah, if we can start winning races, who knows, maybe the regular season championship isn't out of the hunt. But right now we're right where we want to be, and we feel like we're in great contention still for the championship.
Come to Jordan, and then we'll go over to Reed and Lee.
Jordan Bianchi, The Athletic. Has there been, without naming names, has there been a former teammate that you just did not get along with? And how do you guys coexist?
Yeah, fortunately, I haven't ever been in that position. I've certainly had run-ins with competitors, but, you know, I don't know. My MO, my style is, if you have a confrontation, like, just have a conversation about it and be able to move past it, put it behind you. And you know, a lot of the people that I've had run-ins with, or I think right now, all of the people that I've had run-ins with, like, I'm on pretty good standings with all of them. So, you know, I feel like I'm in pretty good spot right now.
Do you keep mental tally, or like of who guys you've had run-ins with over the years, or do you write something down or anything of that nature?
No, I mean you certainly. I think if someone wrongs you enough, then you know, you just you understand that going into the next time that you're around them. But you know, like I said, if I make a mistake and get into somebody, like, I'm going to reach out to them and apologize and have a conversation with them and let them know, whether they, you know, or however they take it, at least they know that I wasn't, you know, willfully trying to take them out of the event. So, yeah, if it's something that's not bad at all, you don't even think about it whenever you're on track. But then the more it is, the the more you process, or the more that you think about it whenever you're on track.
We'll come up front to Lee and then Reed.
Lee Spencer, SiriusXM NASCAR Radio and CatchFence.com. Last week you were a little bit disappointed with your performance, and you kind of alluded to restarts. And I'm wondering, with all the data and sims, you know, tools you have at your disposal, is there anything maybe this past week that you went to work with or work on to improve that before Darlington?
I mean, I don't think that anything that happened at Las Vegas will, you know, repeat at Darlington, because the tracks race very differently. But certainly going back and learning from what transpired at Las Vegas, and just understanding that next time that we go to that style of track, which will be more like a Kansas, and knowing, you know, how I didn't get control of the race. You know, I restarted on the front several times, and feel like my race would have looked a lot different had I been able to get control of the event and get out in clean air and lead the race. You know, when you're side by side, whoever breaks that bubble and gets out front will lead a bunch of laps and you know, look like the best car for a period of time. And unfortunately for me, like I never won the starts and never won the restarts. So we never got control of the race. But certainly trying to, you know, go back and look at the events that transpired, all of the moves, the side drafts, it really is a side drafting game. So, understanding that, I don't think it'll transpire to Darlington, but certainly the next mile and a half or normal intermediate.
And your commentary last week on the High Limit broadcast was so astute, and you just have such a good idea as to what's going on. Is that something you'd like to do more of?
Oh, thank you. I enjoyed it. I don't know when the next time I'll get that opportunity, but I certainly enjoyed it.
Go ahead, Reed.
Reed Spencer with the NASCAR Wire. In last night's race, there were 9 cautions, 2 overtimes. For Sunday's race, you've got 10 new sets of tires, 1 set of qualifying scuff. You run twice as many laps. What does that say about how judicious you'll have to be with tire management, and how do you manage tires here and keep the tires under you with the kind of laps you have to run?
We'll certainly learn more about that, about the strategy piece, whenever we get into practice. And, like I mentioned before, nobody has any idea. It's all speculation on what the tire degradation is going to be and what what that means for the strategy on Sunday. But, how do you save tires? I don't know. I didn't do it very well last night. That was my Achilles heel. So, Hopefully I can save tires better today and tomorrow. I'm still looking for that magic answer if anyone else has it.
We'll come over to Tim up here, and then we'll go to Claire.
Tim Moore, Motorsports Today. Christopher, looking at this season that you're 5 races in, you've practically led almost more laps than you did all of last season. When you look back at last year, what is it that you felt like maybe held you back from leading more laps? And then what's been working so well for you this season?
Well, that was a big thing that we focused on the off season, was getting back to leading laps. And a lot of the stats last year mirrored, you know, my previous seasons, except for that laps led column. That's a really, really important piece, because it shows car potential. It shows speed. And frankly, we did well at the beginning of the year last year, and then we tapered off, you know, mid season, and we still got great finishes, but we weren't able to lead the races and show that we had the best car, because we didn't have the best car. So certainly this year, we've been off to a great start. You know, to go to Phoenix and Vegas and have the races that we did, it makes me super excited about, you know, the potential of our group. And I feel like we're, you know, performing better now than what we did at the end of 2025, which is really good.
And then since the start of the next gen era, the value, I guess you could say, of the Darlington stripe has kind of diminished a little bit. I'm wondering, with the changes, do you feel maybe now that it's going to be a little bit more valuable to kind of keep your car out of the fence? I mean, I know Brad Keselowski mentioned that, like, he wants extra toe links this weekend.
Yeah, these cars are just, they're so funny, because they're very robust in some ways, and they're very fragile in other ways. So, you know, Darlington is a place where you can hit the wall 10 times and get away with it, and then all of a sudden you just barely kiss the wall, and it gets that you get the wheel at the wrong angle, and you bend a toe link, and it ruins your day. So, yeah, I can promise you all of us are focused on staying off the wall. I would say that the Xfinity cars are probably the most robust for getting against the wall because you don't have that toe link and you can, you know, really lean on it and get away with it. But the Cup cars, you can get away with it all the way until you can't. And it's, a lot of us, all of us are going to hit the wall at some point, and someone's going to have the unlucky touch of bending that toe link, and then you've got a long day ahead of you. So, they're very finicky race cars.
We'll wrap with one final question from Claire.
Claire Beeline, Dialed In Journal. The conversation about tires, which we have every time we come here, but then adding to it, it's kind of hard to take a look at it and say, well, how will you race differently here? I know you haven't practiced. And how different of a race do you think it will be? Is this going to be drastic? Is it going to
be? It should be.
Because we always talk about tires here, right? So can you put that in perspective?
The last couple of years since 2022, the race has become more and more and more predictable as people understand the next-gen car. We've been on the same rules package, the same tire now for a long time at Darlington, and the race has become very predictable where we know how it's going to turn out. But, I think this is a great change. I mentioned last week at Vegas that I would love to see this rules package implemented at all the racetracks. Like, I think change is good for the sport. I think it's good for to keep the drivers and the crews on their toes and trying to, you know, see who can figure it out the quickest. So I'm excited about it. I think that the race will look drastically different this time than